Hello, this is Rodney Harrier, the author and host of these chronological Bible studies. This is the review of Abraham and a preview of Isaac, Jacob, and his 12 sons. Thank you for joining us. Review of Abraham. Last week we finished the book of Job, looking at the wonder and wisdom of God in creation. Job realized he was foolish to challenge God and repented. Then, as instructed, Job prayed for his friends because they spoke falsely against him. Afterward, God blessed Job with twice as much family and wealth as before. Although Job failed, still God was pleased that he feared him and tried to be a man of integrity. He never did get an explanation from God why he allowed Job to suffer. The Lord isn't answerable to anyone. Job had to reckon that God knows best. We may also need to develop the attitude that our Heavenly Father knows best. Next, we return to the book of Genesis and begin the story of Abram and Sarai. Here we also see God's sovereignty and provision as Abram works through faith and failure. Not that failure to trust in the Lord is right, but don't you just love how God shares a real story of men and women who, like us, aren't perfect? We all need God's help and forgiveness. Hang on, there's a lot of stories to review this week. God called Abram from the metropolis of Ur. Ur was a wealthy heathen nation full of idol worshippers. It was located in what is now Tel el-Mekiyar, or Tel el-Mekiyar, an important city of ancient southern Mesopotamia, Sumer. It is situated about 140 miles, or 225 kilometers, southeast of the site of Babylon and about 10 miles, 16 kilometers, west of the present bed of the Euphrates River. The Lord called Abram to leave his country and his father's household and go to a place where he would show him. Then Abram takes his family and his nephew Lot with him. But before we go to Canaan, imagine Abram trying to explain his travel plans to his wife. "Where are we going?" Sarah asks. "I don't know. God didn't tell me." Exasperated, Sarah sighs, "And just how will we know when we get there?" "God will tell us." "And when did you say we are going?"
"Tomorrow."
"Tomorrow?" "Okay. Better get packed up." Sarah might have questioned Abram, but Abram is exhibiting tremendous faith. How many of us would leave not knowing where we are going, when we would get to our destination, or what their new life would be like? Not long after Abram and Sarah enter Canaan, Abram does something terrible for his own protection. During a famine in the land, instead of trusting in the Lord, he takes his wife to Egypt but tells her to lie and say she's his sister, not his wife, so they won't kill him and take her. Nice guy, Abram. Sarai obeys, but mercifully the Lord protects her. He inflicts severe diseases on Pharaoh and his household. Pharaoh finds Abram is a source of his trouble and sends him and his beautiful wife away.
Unfortunately, we'll find out that later there is another famine and Abram tries the same trick with King Abimelech of Gerar.
The day Abram arrives back in Canaan, God encourages him with three promises. 1. God will give his descendants the land of Canaan forever as a possession. Those of you who are well acquainted with Israel's history might wonder if God was faithful to keep his promises. Yes, he is, but he suspended the fulfillment of his promise because the Israelites' evil behavior was so bad that he had destroyed most and exiled the rest away from their homeland. When the Persian king, King Cyrus, later allowed the Jews to go back to their homeland, it was a miracle. However, Israel has had a long history of wars and occupations. Someday, Israel will have her land as a permanent possession when she turns back to the Lord. 2, Abram, later called Abraham, the father of multitudes, would have as many descendants as the stars of the sky. That's hyperbole, of course, but we get the idea. God would bless all nations through Abraham. Abraham trusted God, and it was accounted to him as righteousness. The same is true for us. If we believe Abraham's descendant, Jesus Christ, died for our sins in our place, was buried in a tomb 3 days,
and was resurrected from the dead to give us eternal life, we can be saved and go to heaven one day. Jesus gives us spiritual life, peace, and forgiveness. That is the greatest blessing. After Abraham, Lot, and their family settle in Canaan, God blesses the offspring of their flocks and herds so much that the grazing land can't support them. Abram graciously gives Lot his first choice, and he takes the area south and east of the Jordan River, planting his tents next to the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. Not long afterward, 5 kings go to war against 4 kings, including Sodom and Gomorrah. They capture Lot and his family, amongst many others. Abram comes to his rescue and returns his family. On the way back, a particular priest who was king of Salem, the future site of Jerusalem, blesses them for the victory. Who was this stranger? Not seeming to have any record of his birth or death, and because this priest king blessed Abram for his success, he is a type of Christ. Abram is so impressed that he leaves him a tenth of the loot he carried back from the battle. Meanwhile, 15 years pass, and still there is no baby for Sarai. She decides she needs to help God, so she uses the custom of the day to marry off one of her maidservants to her husband. If Hagar bore a son, he could become their legal heir. But then she despises her mistress and is sent into the wilderness. God is there for her. He sees her in her distress, and she is touched. Then he tells Hagar to return to her mistress and be submissive, which she apparently had not been. Later, Hagar delivers a son, Ishmael. 9 more years pass, and still no baby for Sarai. Then God tells Abram that a natural son will be delivered to him and Sarai, who will be the chosen heir. Abram laughs at that prospect. But to emphasize the point, the Lord changes Abram's name, which means an exalted father, who as yet, by the way, was not a father. He changes it to Abraham, which means a father of multitudes. Sarai's name is changed to Sarah, meaning princess. One day, 3 men on a mission come in from the desert to visit Abram. They confirm the prophecy that he and Sarai will have a son next year. Sarai overhears the conversation and laughs at the prospect and the impossibility. But nothing is too hard for God. Then God wants all the males in their family and even their servants to be circumcised. Circumcision is a cutting away of the foreskin of their private parts, symbolizing the Jews cutting away their old perverse lifestyle and being dedicated to God. The second reason for the stranger's visit is that they were angels sent from heaven to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. In response to Abraham's plea, the angels rescue Lot and his daughters before fire rained down, burning sulfur from the skies. Lot's wife didn't make it. Against specific instructions not to look back, she did, and instantly became a pillar of salt. Lot fled to a nearby town for safety. However, the Sodomite's heart was in both girls. They decided to get their father drunk to have sexual relationships with him and have children since they were isolated. Guess where they learned that? They each bore sons, Moab and Ammon, and their descendants would become constant enemies of Israel. Meanwhile, 1 year later, at the age of 90, Sarah does deliver a son to her 100-year-old husband. They called his name Isaac, meaning laughter. Only God could have done this. Abraham and Sarah laughed in delight that they, senior citizens, should have a son in their old age. 14-year-old Ishmael is jealous of little Isaac and mocks him. Since Isaac is a natural-born son, Ishmael knows that his chance to receive the firstborn inheritance is gone. Sarah sees how Ishmael treats Isaac and tells Abram to send Hagar and her son away. This is the second time Abram has sent her away, and now he sends Ishmael away too. Nevertheless, this is God's will to further the line of Isaac. Now, the next thing that God asked of Abraham would make us wonder if he really did want the line to continue, because one day he asked Abram to take his son, his only son, Isaac, his natural-born son, Isaac, and take him to a place where he would show him and sacrifice him. Oh, what must have gone through Abraham's head. He couldn't possibly tell Sarah. She would never let him do that. That makes me wonder if that's the reason he got up early the next morning, maybe even before Sarah woke up, and took him to the Mount Moriah, where he would take him there for the sacrifice. But he had faith that God would not really ask him to sacrifice his son, because he told his servants that he and his son would make the sacrifice and come back to them. But it must have been a funny feeling when Isaac asked him, "Father, we got the wood, we got the knife, we got the fire, but we have no lamb. What will we do for the sacrifice?" And Abraham said in faith, "God will provide for himself a sacrifice." Isaac did not know that it would be him laying on the altar. And as a young man, he could have fought. But shockingly, he submitted to his father's hands binding him to the altar. He was not a young boy. He had the strength of a man to haul wood for the sacrifice while he and his father walked side by side to their destination. Human sacrifice is reprehensible to the Lord. I think Abraham knew that. But he was willing to not even withhold his own son from the Lord, reckoning that if the Lord wanted him sacrificed, he would raise him up from the dead and fulfill his promise to further his line through Isaac. It must have been a great relief to bring Isaac back from the mount and present him before Sarah. I'll bet he didn't explain it. I'll bet she never found out. Nevertheless, Abraham's faith is a lesson for all of us. Sarah dies about 37 years later, but Abram doesn't send her remains to Ur. No, in faith that God will give him the land of Canaan, he buys part of a rich man's property at full price and lays stake to the first piece of land they will inherit. After Sarah is buried, Abraham sends his servant to get a wife for Isaac from their relatives in Mesopotamia instead of Canaan. Providentially, God leads the servant to the very well where Rebekah waters her flocks. She's a shepherdess, and she's not only beautiful and ideally connected, but also kind and hardworking. After a short delay, the servant brings her back to Canaan, and Isaac loves her and marries her. After a little while, she is pregnant with twins, Jacob and Esau. Esau grew up to become an outdoorsman, and Isaac favored him. Jacob stayed around the tents, and his mother liked him. If you are astute, you perceive troubles brewing. Now we'll have some previews of Jacob and his 12 sons. This week we see the danger of favoritism and deceit in the lives of Jacob and his sons. Then we'll see how the Lord used the abuse of Joseph to preserve their family line. Here are the daily topics for this week. Day 23, even though Isaac succeeds in obtaining peace with his neighbors, he experiences turmoil in his home because of favoritism and overzealous ambitions. What are the dangers of bias and overzealous ambition? Day 24, Jacob will pay a high price for his deception. What goes around comes around. Let's learn from his mistakes and not lead a Ferris wheel life. Day 25. Is there ever an end of struggling for Jacob or us? How? Find out in this lesson. Day 26. Bad habits are hard to break, and Jacob makes a costly mistake. Some mistakes are not easily erased. How can we prevent this from happening to us? Day 27. In this lesson, we begin the life of Joseph, the favorite son of Jacob. Favoritism causes jealousy. How do we overcome animosity caused by jealousy in our family, business, or ministry? Day 28. Although Joseph suffers injustice, God directs the course of his life for his glory and Joseph's benefit. Find out more about God's providential care in this Bible study. Day 29, the famine affects Joseph's family in Canaan. They come to Egypt, and Joseph tests their character to discover if they have changed. Find out more about tests of genuine character on day 29. Day 30, Joseph suffered a lot before God changed his circumstances. Then the Lord gives him a new perspective and a renewed hope. How can God do the same for us? See the answer on day 30. Day 31, it was not enough for Joseph to bring his family to Egypt to save them from famine. He took other steps to protect his family. What can we do to protect our family heritage? And finally, day 32, Jacob is at the end of his life. When he gives his blessings on his 12 sons, he leaves a legacy and tells our destiny. How can we leave a legacy and destiny with our children? Find out on day 32. May the Lord bless you as you study God's Word and apply it to your life this week. Don't forget to sign up for our podcast so you can download each podcast as soon as they are available.